Hey folks, what's up? Welcome to the Client Boost Kitchen podcast. And today is going to be another solo episode. And I'm really excited about this one because it's covering a topic which I am just seeing absolutely blow up on LinkedIn at the moment, which is brand marketing. So I'm very, very happy that it feels like B2Bs are finally starting to understand the importance of brand marketing. So to give you a little bit of an overview of my background, I actually started out working for a brand agency as kind of the marketing arm in a brand agency, and have done that twice in my marketing career, where I've been the marketing guy in the brand agency. So brand is something that I believe in and something that's very close to my heart.
Got the right ingredients for revenue growth. A pinch of effort and a dash of hope won't cut it anymore. Grab your utensils. You're about to get some high-performing marketing recipes. Welcome to Client Boost Kitchen.
So with that, today we are going to be showing you B2B CMOs how you can measure brand marketing and how you can measure it without spending thousands on new tools. And all of this stuff is based on the exact ways that we're actually measuring our own marketing at Client Boost. So this is the very same metrics and the very same processes that we've already tested out internally. So what are you going to learn today? Firstly, you're going to learn 7 inexpensive ways you can measure brand marketing performance. I'm also going to show you the paid and free tools available to help you track your brand marketing. And then finally, I'm going to be talking a lot about why attribution is important, but shouldn't be your single source of truth when it comes to measuring brand marketing performance and just marketing performance in general. My favorite quote right now is, numbers don't lie, but they don't tell the full picture either. So with that, let's get into the first one here. So you may have seen lots of people on LinkedIn talking about this. This is one of my favorite ways to measure brand marketing performance, which is share of search. So what is share of search? Share of search measures the percentage of brand name searches you receive in relation to your competitors. So why do we want to measure that? Well, if more prospects search for your brand name, that means that in theory, your share of search will increase. And so if the number of prospects searching for your brand name is increasing, that's a pretty good indication that the brand marketing that you're doing is having the desired effect. Now, how can you actually do this? There's actually a free way to do this, which is kind of laborious and annoying to do, so I don't recommend it. You can actually measure share of search fairly cheaply, but the free and manual way is to just use a tool like Google Ads search volume data to find out, okay, how many brand searches are we getting on average every month, and how many brand searches are our competitors getting each month. You can then just send that data to your spreadsheet or whatever and have it just build out a pie chart that shows you the percentage of search share that you have. Again, that's a bit too manual for me. I don't have the time nor desire to do that. So I use a really cool tool. Shout out to Leah Maroney for recommending this in one of his posts. Super cheap. So it's like $21 a month, I think we pay for it. And what you can do in that is, I literally took me like 5 seconds to set this up, but I just told it who our competitors or key competitors were, told it our brand name. And then immediately it gave me an overview of how we perform in terms of share of search versus our competitors. So right now we're at 14.49%. There's actually decreased significantly. So that was a flag for me that we actually need to invest more in brand marketing. And actually, as a result of seeing this, I presented to the CEO and CFO at Client Boost, hey, we have a strong share of search, but we're actually declining. And the reason that we're declining is because we haven't invested a ton in brand marketing for probably 18 months. And so as a result, we are now doubling the investment in brand marketing over the next quarter and probably for the rest of the year as a way of countering that. So yeah, that's my first one here is share of search. And kind of similar to share of search is also share of voice. Now, share of voice is a little bit different than share of search, because with share of voice, what you're measuring is the percentage of media mentions, or even it could be mentions from internet users as well, but just generally the number of mentions that you get as a brand in relation to your competitors. So why do we do this? Again, similar to brand search, if more media outlets and more internet users are mentioning your brand, then what you're going to see is that your share of voice should grow. And again, because more people are mentioning you, that means more people are aware of you, which indicates that your brand is also growing, which again can be a very strong signal that the brand marketing work you're doing is actually effective. With this one, it's unfortunately one of the few metrics today that I've not found a good free tool to be able to do this. And so there are loads of different share of voice tools out there. I even think platforms like SEMrush and Ahrefs can do this, and most of you will have that already in your tech stack. So if you do, just look into that. It's pretty straightforward to set this up. But yeah, it's typically going to be a social listening tool that's going to help you do this. So the one that I use is just the one that I found was the easiest to use and the cheapest, which was a tool called Awareo. And yeah, I just went in there and was able to set that up in just a few clicks. And I think that's about $149 a month. So not super expensive. And I think for most of you, budget holders, probably not even something that you need to get signed off, right? You can just go in and actually just make the decision to purchase that. So that's share of voice. What do we have next? So this one's probably my favorite one. And I would actually say, if somebody was to say to me, you can only pick one metric to measure brand health or brand growth, I would pick this one. And that's ICP traffic growth. And the reason I like this one is because I think it's both a really good signal of brand growth, but also of just like demand as well. So it's a little bit of both. So you get a 2-for-1 here. But what is it? So it's kind of like the clues in the name, but it's just the ICP traffic visiting your website. So you just want to see a growth in ideal fit clients or ideal fit companies visiting your website. And the reason I like this is because it's very easy to gamify overall traffic growth, organic traffic growth, direct traffic growth. I think that they're still worth keeping a pulse on. But you know, a huge spike in direct traffic growth doesn't necessarily mean that your brand marketing's working. It could just be a bunch of spam clicks, which is very common. Whereas ICP traffic growth signals that your brand marketing is both reaching the right people, but also influencing them and also influencing recall, right? Because they are influenced and engaged enough with the brand marketing that they've actually remembered who you are and then subsequently visited your website. So in terms of how to measure this, there's so many tools out there. I'm fairly confident you can actually do this with HubSpot, to be honest. So for those of you using HubSpot, I think HubSpot purchased Clearbit. I could be wrong. Somebody tell me if I'm spouting misinformation here and I'll rectify that. But yeah, you can do this with HubSpot. I personally use Dream Data just because Dream Data has a bunch of other really cool features. And so I'm already in there. And I also use this Dream Data to build audiences and send them back into some of our ad platforms. But you can do this for free. So there's a platform out there called Koala, getkoala.com, and they have a free plan, which somebody correct me if I'm wrong on this, and I'll go back and update this, but I'm fairly sure that's up to 5,000 ICP companies. Yeah, for most growing B2Bs, that's probably enough. So for us, that's not. Our target's 10,000 ICP companies that we want on the website. That was a KPI that I set myself as well, committed to. With our CEO and CFO. So I don't know, maybe I'll regret that, but yeah. And to be honest, if you're growing past 5,000 ICP company visits, then they're really, you should be able to justify a little bit of an investment there. I think Koala's initial plan that's past the 5K mark is $750 a month. Dream Data is about 1K a month for us. There's other tools out there as well. So we do also have DealFront, which I'm not sure I can't remember what the cost of that is, but that's also a really great tool for that. And we use that for audience building as well. So what do we have next? Oh, this one's a good one, actually. So engaged ICP company growth. So this is a little bit different than ICP traffic, because what you're measuring here is the growth in the number of engaged companies. And so what we mean by that is you're tracking the engagement level of companies based on the number of interactions they have with your various marketing assets. And that includes everything, right? So it could be ad channels, could be the website, could even be like number of meetings with the sales team, etc. And the reason we track this is that, again, in theory, it's more ideal fit companies are engaging with your marketing assets. In theory, the number of companies with a high engagement score should grow. And so again, this is just a really strong positive sign that you are reaching and influencing the right prospects. So again, I actually use Dream Data for this, but there is a free tool out there which you can use, which you're probably already using, which is LinkedIn Ads. So I think if you navigate to the plan column on LinkedIn Ads, underneath that, it should say companies. And then I believe it's actually right next to companies. So it goes the company name column, and then the next column is engagement score. And then what you have there is five different engagement scores. So you have very low, low, medium, high, and very high. And the way that LinkedIn actually works that out is they are looking at how much those companies engage with your assets, so your organic posts, your paid posts, your website, versus how those same companies engage with other brands that are targeting those companies. So when you see, very high engagement, that means that company is engaging with your content much more than they are other brands that are actually targeting them. So again, it's not necessarily a signal of intent, but it is a very good signal of other, important brand metrics, which is, positive association, interest in your company, etc. So this one's probably one of the most underutilized, in my opinion. I think so many more companies should be doing this, and that's conversion lift analysis. So what this is essentially you're creating holdout groups within your audiences. And then by doing that, you can actually show the lift in conversions when users see versus don't see an ad. So for example, if a holdout group converts to a holdout group, is a section of the audience that doesn't see an ad, if they convert at a lower percentage than the target group that does see ads, you can have confidence that your brand marketing is working, even if the first, last, or multi-touch attribution isn't there, right? And the reason I love this so much is because it's agnostic of market conditions. And so probably one of my strongest POVs at the moment is, yes, as marketers, we always want to be chasing growth. We want to be contributing to business growth all the time. But the truth is, we operate in markets and demand shifts all the time. So there is a classic example that I've used more times than I'd like to admit. It's just, during COVID, when lockdowns were implemented, it was pretty impossible as a restaurant to maintain the same growth levels because the market conditions changed, right? And so when you're in that situation, you need to have now a new metric to understand, well, what does success look like? And so for me, with conversion lift analysis, it's agnostic of the market conditions because you can say pretty concretely, well, okay, whatever's happening with demand in the market right now, we know that when we run advertising to audiences first don't, we see, a specific lift. And so in terms of tools that you can use to do this, I think I've read something that Google is going to be implementing, I think, a new feature that allows you to do this natively in Google. I know there's also, you can do it in LinkedIn ads, you can do it in Meta ads, but you need to be spending a certain amount, and you typically need to do it in conjunction with an account manager. And so probably a more cost-effective way that still isn't super cheap, but is not ludicrously expensive, is a tool called Primer. And so Primer is a tool that we use for third-party audience building. And so we found it really, really effective for that. But they also recently introduced this conversion lift analysis tool. And it basically works exactly the way that I just explained, which is they will just create, you know, you'll define your ICP audience in there, and then they'll create small holdout groups. And so they can kind of predict with a pretty decent amount of statistical significance what the conversion lift is when that audience that you're targeting sees an ad versus, you know, the people in that audience didn't see an ad. And the way that works is Primer will connect to your CRM. So I actually use real conversion and pipeline data to be able to work that out. So for us, as an example, we know that there's like a close to a 10x lift in inbound marketing plan requests, which is kind of our core. You could call it almost like a demo offer to some degree, because it does require a call, but somewhere in the region of a 10x lift in conversions for audiences that see an ad versus the holdout groups, which is wild. But for me, it's also just really, really helpful to understand that. So yeah, conversion lift analysis, I think one of the most underrated tools for measuring brand out there, and just general marketing as well. So I think even, you know, demand capture marketers should be using this as well. Another one. So I get some pushback on this sometimes. I don't think you should measure your entire brand marketing program on these two metrics, but I do think they're useful signals. So audience penetration and frequency. So what audience penetration tells you is the percentage of your audience that the marketing has reached. And then the frequency tells you the average number of ad impressions per prospect. And so why I say to at least keep an eye on these is I think a successful brand marketing program is really going to optimize. It's going to optimize for many things, but two very, very important things are audience saturation. So again, if we think of the 95-5 rule, 5% of your audience is in market right now, 95% is out market. If you want to increase the likelihood that you're both getting in front of as many in-market prospects right now to ensure short-term pipeline, but also building recall over time with that 95% out market, then it makes sense that you just need to penetrate as much of that total audience as possible with advertising. And the reason I like to track frequency is because I think too many businesses expect that somebody's going to see an ad once and then convert. And that's just not the case. So we know that it typically takes multiple touch points. I think, you know, there's a stat out there that it's 7 touch points. I think we can all agree that that's pretty much made up at this point. But I think the most recent data that I've seen on this put the point of diminishing returns on impressions at about 10. And so that we typically say aim for a frequency of 10. But honestly, I've seen some marketers say go even higher. And anecdotally, I would say in almost all instances where I've seen ad accounts with higher frequency, the performance is always better from multiple perspectives, whether that's pipeline, engagement levels, just, you know, form submissions, whatever the case, whatever your barometer for performance of an ad campaign is at that campaign level, higher frequency is typically correlated with that. So very, very important to measure those. Again, this is another free one. So most ad platforms will actually have a custom column for this. If they don't, it's very, very easy to create that custom column because it's just the total audience size divided by reach. So if you have an audience size of 100,000 and you've reached 20,000, then you know that the audience penetration is 20%. So fairly straightforward to work out there. One thing I would say around frequency is people get kind of worried when they see it, you know, a 10 frequency. Am I going to be annoying my audience? The answer is maybe, but it's not necessarily. It's not necessarily a problem. What is a problem is if the audience doesn't see enough ads. So, you know, I always say, yes, like, do you want to potentially annoy one person? Although you probably won't annoy anyone, to be honest. Would you rather annoy one person, or would you rather have a campaign where nobody's seeing enough ads to actually convert. And so almost conversions don't pay the bills, right? So I think better to err on the side of caution there. And then you need to track it and adjust over time to see what works for you. Different frequencies, targets will be different for different businesses. But generally speaking, I think there's more risk of having too few impressions than there is from having too many impressions. So another good one here is just incremental uplift. So when I tell people this, they think I'm making it up, but you know, I've worked with, I don't know, close to 100 B2Bs, I would say at this point, over the last 6 years that I've been in marketing. And there are so many times where you'll launch brand marketing and see an incremental uplift in revenue and inbound in pipeline. And because there's no direct attribution there, companies will just switch off and say it's not working. So you'll launch something, 6 months later, you'll have more inquiries than you've ever had. You'll be closing more deals than you've ever closed. You'll be generating more revenue than you've ever generated. And because you can't see that it's directly attributed to a LinkedIn ad or directly attributed to a billboard ad or whatever the thing is that you ran, companies won't believe it's working. But the incremental growth is the data. And so that's why incremental growth absolutely needs to be factored. And so an example I give of this is I worked with a company where we would launch display ads. This is actually one of the very first projects I worked on in marketing. And every time we would launch display ads, nothing would get attributed to the display channel. That's very common because it's not a direct response channel display. You know, nobody clicks display ads, but we would see a spike in sales. When we turned it off, we'd see a decrease in sales. And this was an e-commerce B2B. So you would, you know, companies would go onto the website, purchase what they needed. It was IT hardware. And so, yeah. And so we plotted that out over the past 2 years. And there was only like three short bursts in display advertising. And every time there was, you know, like an above the current incremental growth rate, increase in revenue, and then a similar return to baseline once we turned it off. And yeah, the CEO just didn't believe the channel was working because they couldn't attribute it, whereas they could attribute Google search ads. So they wanted to put that money into Google search ads because the platform told them that it was working. And so yeah, that's why I'm such a big proponent of incremental uplift. Like, you're not going to be able to attribute every single channel. It's getting more complex as well to attribute stuff with, you know, rise in ad blockers, rise in people rejecting cookies, etc., rise in people, you know, conducting research on multiple devices. Like for me, when I'm researching stuff, you know, I look on my phone, I look on my iPad, I look on my laptop, and those aren't necessarily all able to be connected by attribution software. So with incremental uplift, I imagine there are tools that can help you do this. I've not investigated it as much as I'd like to, but you know, one tool I'm hearing a lot about at the moment is Paramarker, and I am going to look a little bit more into that. So that could be something if you're looking for a paid tool, but you can do this for free as well, right? So you just look at year on year, what's the current growth rate? It may be negative. And then you can just map out, okay, well, when we launch the brand marketing activity, do we see an incremental uplift? And then we can just plot that out. So, you know, over 3 months, do we see an incremental uplift there? One thing that I actually had Reese, the director of business intelligence, on this podcast recently. And one thing he said is that if you want to do a cost-effective way of doing this, you can just run geo tests. So you can either only advertise in one geo area and then just look at, is there an incremental lift in revenue from that area in pipeline from that specific geo? Or you can also do it in the reverse, where you take out one small geo for a month and say, okay, well, do we see a dip when we take out the advertising in that area as well? So that's one final thing. But yeah, pretty straight. It's difficult to do this. It takes a little bit of time, but definitely can do it free in a spreadsheet or something like that. I imagine you could probably even set up a HubSpot report to do it, although I've never personally done that. So that is the seven ways to measure brand marketing relatively inexpensively. So if I'm being honest, you really could, with the right tools, you could actually start measuring brand marketing for somewhere in the region of $200 a month or less than. And so that's just for some form of social listening tool. some form of share of voice tool, I think would be the essentials. And then also ICP traffic growth. Those three would be like the three essentials that you should do. And you can do that for less than $200 a month. Honestly, you could probably get rid of share of voice. Sorry. Yeah, share of voice. And just measure share of search and ICP traffic growth. And you could do that for free. The share of search is a bit trickier to do, but the ICP, there are tools that ICP traffic growth, there are tools that you can do that for free with. Another tactical takeaway here. So if there was only one metric to track brand marketing growth, I'd 100% use ICP traffic growth. I don't think that's just a better measure that incorporates multiple different, I guess, marketing programs. So that's a really good signal of brand. It's a good signal of demand too. So it kind of ticks both boxes there for me. Final tactical takeaway, I think, is just conversion lift analysis is probably one of the most underrated tools for measuring marketing. And the reason for that is it's just agnostic of market conditions, which means it can tell you how marketing's performing, however volatile the market is right now. And I think that's just a really, really useful tool for you to have. So yeah, there we go. That is everything for this week's Client Boost Kitchen podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Catch you in the next one.